Thanks for listening to this podcast. For more information about the City Gate, visit www.thecitygate.org.
There we go. Wow. What a blessing. Now, before you're seated, tell someone hope produces faith. I mean, it's amazing. What a blessing. You may be seated. What a blessing to see that book coming out. It is quite an honor to stand up here and to be able to open up this tonight on behalf of one of the greatest ministers I know that I feel like is called for this time in this nation, Dutch Sheets. Now, when he gets here, he's probably going to say all sorts of things about me. So you just smile and act like, just go along with it. But I think he is awesome. I think his call to this nation is amazing. And let's thank God for his call to this nation. It's great to see so many of you. It's good to see Linus and Karen over here. And then, of course, Clay to be here. I think this is my first time to be in the place here. And this doesn't this place have a good feel to it? Let's clap our hands and thank God for that. Betty, it's good to see you. So many of you just to be here. Anne flew down from New York to meet us. She was in the Rochester area in upper state New York. And so it's always good to have Ann Tate, our prayer director here. Ann, stand up. Welcome her here with us. And it was interesting. Wednesday, we were at prayer on Wednesday, and one of the ladies at prayer was from Rochester, New York, and she had a friend of hers had called from Charles Finney School. They had actually found in one of the basements of that school, which I've spoken there a couple of times, the original pulpit of Charles Finney. And she said when they brought it out, you could feel something stirring in the atmosphere. So we asked the Lord just to stir up that awakening that we know that is here. And I think some of the things that Ken was reading to us, I think tonight you're going to see why they're so significant as I express what I see the Lord doing right now with us as we're moving forward, each one of us personally. And then, of course, the prophetic works not only personally, but it works corporately. It works territorially, and it works generationally. So it is a blessing to be here in Mississippi. I think Mississippi is changing. I mean, we need to confess that. Something's going on in Mississippi. It's never been probably one of my most favorite states. You know, I love to go. I love to be with God's people wherever they are. But Mississippi's always had some different things go on with it when I've been there. And it's just, you can feel a difference. And I don't think it's just because we're in the northern part. However, Clay, I do see something, and I'm just going to let it stir. And at the right time, I'll prophesy about this place. Now, I also think with our worship that our sister here captured with the artistic demonstration, the prophetic word of the worship. Let's thank God for this painting that has come forward. It's really awesome. And so let's look at what God's saying and what I sense is going on with us. Turn your Bible to John chapter 20. Just leave it there and we'll get to that in little bit, but let me just share some things with you. Go ahead, Chad, and help us. Chad Foxworth is back there helping me, and his mother is actually here. Now, stand up, Margaret. What a blessing to see you. She's from Mississippi. Now, I'll tell you about that. We were down. I was speaking in Florida. I think it was at CI, and she came over, and she said, my son is in the Dallas area. You need to find him and get him straightened out. I said, okay. I mean, it was awesome. She's a wonderful mama. And she knew. I mean, I just felt it prick my heart. I knew I was supposed to do that. And so the next thing I know, I'm calling him, and then he's coming over to see us. And then he's been with us now. It's going on how many years? Five? Seven? It's been that long. 7 years. Amen. It's taken longer than I thought it would. But he's worth it. He's the only one. All those guys that have traveled with me, they've all gotten married. He's the only one of them that hadn't gotten married yet. And so, you know, we just continue to prod through the world, all over the world, looking for his wife. This year, actually, 238,000 miles. It's been a lot this year. So we're still looking. Now, I believe we're at one of the most critical places we could know. Now, I'm gonna share some things with you. Many of you know I sent it out. I had a dream, and in the dream, I was on top of a mountain, and I was picking fruit, and it reminded me of being in New England, actually, because my wife is from New Hampshire, and we would go there, and sometimes we'd go up on Ball Mountain behind her house, and we would pick blueberries, and that's what it reminded me of. And I was up there, and we were gathering fruit, and I could hear a bear coming, but I couldn't see it yet. And I knew we had to make some shifts because I could hear this bear approaching, and so I began to move from where we were before I could even see the bear coming. And however, as I began to move, the bear began to approach. And he got closer and closer. And he pushed me right up to the edge. And I thought, what am I going to do? And all of a sudden in the dream, I saw, instead of going over the edge, I saw a path form to the right. And I took that path, and we're at this gathering called A Way Forward. And I believe that dream had several meanings. And instead of going over the edge, I found the way of escape. Now, when I woke up, I knew that that dream was about our economy. And I began to prophesy about our economy, and God particularly showed me that even though a bear was approaching, I could hear it, but I couldn't see it yet. And I said, we're going to go through a hard time, and we'll come up to the edge of a fiscal crisis, but all of a sudden, right at the edge, we'll take a turn and go the other way. There'll be a way of escape. And it was interesting. It was very clear in the dream. It was because of the right we had a way of escape. And so I began to prophesy, and we have these prophecies recorded, that by October the 17th, the economy in our nation, even though it would get to the brink, would shift on October the 17th. Now, I'm saying that for a reason. God doesn't do anything without first telling his prophets. Now, we must get to a place of understanding that. And I think he tells us all different aspects of what is going on that affects us based upon who we are, what our gift is, and the necessity of us knowing. And so here we are on October the 17th, and instead of going over the edge, we have made a turn. Let's thank God for that. Now, I sense no big victory. I didn't sense any big victory in the dream. I just saw a way, and I took it. And I think that's where we are. I think we have to be very cautious because, and I'm going to go ahead and say this because it's the first time I've spoken concerning this, I believe we will start seeing markers laid out of how the economic structure of this nation is changing. And that's very important for God's people. And you say, well, why are we discussing that tonight? Because one of the pastor's role in the early church and in the apostolic realm of the early church was to make sure the people understood the economic structure they were in. And he was to make sure, he or she was to make sure that they knew how to maneuver that economic structure. And I think the church has abdicated that. I think we have gotten away from that understanding of what's happening. Now, I also want to say this. The government of our nation does not set the course for our future. Because even yesterday and the day before, when I would listen to the news and they would say, we won't reach an agreement, there's no agreement in sight, God said, I settled that 40 days ago and said by the 17th they would settle and move forward. See, I think we have to understand as a people, God is bringing us to a place of legislating our future. And if I could say one thing, which we're going to do at the end of this gathering, we're going to give into something new, because I believe what is starting now with what Dutch and Cece and Ken and Clay and others are doing is setting a course for legislating the future of this nation. And if we don't realize that once God says it, see, here's what we have to remember. God has the final word on everything. Glory has the final word. That's the way he spoke it to me years ago. He said, you know, people can say this, they can have this opinion, but glory has the final word. Now, when I was reading through the Word of God, I found that in Hebrews chapter 1 and 2. You'll see that principle, that glory, how glory is speaking into the earth determines the future of our generation. See, God's not in time. We're in time. And because we're in time, we have to operate by faith in time. We have to respond to God. We have to speak what God's doing. And so right now, we're at an incredible shift in the body of Christ. Now, probably I've gone back and I've looked at things that Dutch and I said as we went to all 50 states. We even wrote a chapter in the book on the 50 state tour about shifting. Dutch wrote a chapter on it. It was one of his most incredible messages. But here we are again, and we must shift. And I actually think we've matured. I think we're beyond a prayer movement. I think we're beyond where we've been in the past. I look at you, I don't think it's about age, and I'm going to show you some things tonight. I think you have three generations hungry now to align together. And I believe God is doing a work in us. Now, laying all jokes aside, it's been an honor for me to mentor Chad and watch Chad grow and deal with his youth. See, I think some of the times we have to understand people have to deal with their youth. And that's why eventually the Lord says, put away your youthful lust. In other words, there comes a moment where that season has ended in you. You have to put that away and you have to mature and go on in. I think we're at a place now where we have to mature. It's not a matter of the church maturing. It's not a matter of a kingdom, people growing up and maturing. We have to mature now. And I believe this, that we're hearing about the International Ecclesia group network is so important for us in our maturing process. Now, when we got to the year 2010, we went into a transition, something new. Now, I want to go back for a moment and let you know in September 2007, and this will be very pertinent for us tonight as we initiate what God is doing here. when in September 2007, I had been a part of the prayer movement since the 80s. And I knew in a meeting, we had prophets gathered from all around, matter of fact, from around the world, and we were meeting. And the Lord told me I was to lay down my role in the prayer movement. I wasn't to stop praying. I wasn't to do any of that because I don't think that's what that meant. It was about one movement coming to an end and finding our way into a new movement. Well, in May 2008, it wasn't until, I just assumed I would go around, speak, do what I'm doing tonight. But on May 2008, on May 31st, I was in New Jersey at Liberty Park, where the Statue of Liberty is. We were off of Ellis Island, and John and Cheryl Price had rented, and the Rosellis had rented a train station, and so we had about 2,000 people that had gathered in the train station where people would come in through our nation, the gate of our nation, and they would sign in to be a part of this nation, and then they would either go to New Jersey, Newark, or into New York City, and they would go through this train station. So the train station now, you could rent it and have a gathering. And while we were there, I was to be the speaker. But in the midst of it, God came down and visited me. And in visiting me, he caught me up. And the visitation was about for 4 hours. And he began to show me our nation. He showed me first my own bloodline, which had come from the Huguenots. From France and then in through Luxembourg and had come into America, actually married into the Chickasaw people. So this people that settled this area is part of my people. And then, and I could see where God had met. I mean, I was like I was looking down. I was seeing the path. Now, this is important for where we are right now. And I could see where God had met and glory had intervened into my bloodline. I also saw where Satan had intervened in my bloodline. And I saw that we had a very wicked root that had tried to intervene and shift the path in direction. And I saw, though, what God was doing. He caught me into the future 3 years. See, because God's not in time, we don't have to remain bound by time. Now, that's important to understand. That's what makes us a prophetic people. It's easy for the Lord to catch us up and show us the future. That's not for the diviners. That's for us. That's for the prophets and the propheticness of all of God's people. And so he caught me up and he showed me into the future and he showed me where the devil would try to intervene twice more in my bloodline with two of my children that were still younger. But he showed me how the glory of God would get stronger and stronger if I would move in a new intercession beginning that day. It was very, very interesting. The next thing he showed me was state to state to state, and he showed me the covenant roots of, so that's interesting what Ken was saying to us, the covenant roots of our nation. He showed me what each state looked like. He showed me, and instead of these streams coming out of the clock here, coming from heaven, these streams were going across our nation, and they were gold. They looked like fire and glory. And I asked the Lord what it was, and he said, it's a triumphant people that will amass in a new movement. And so I began to see every state had that triumphant people. Just like a meeting tonight. People that would come together and move. But then he began to show me it was like burned down in the ground. It looked like castles and they were on fire. And these streams would connect into these castles. And I said, Lord, what is that? And he said, they're freedom outposts. And later on, I began to see they're the apostolic centers for the future. And people, these streams would connect at these places. These places were fixed with glory. Now, I'm here to say not every state had those places that were fixed with glory. But I could see glory. Now, if I remember right with Mississippi, there was a center up here. And this is my first time to be over here to speak. But there was a center up here. And out of this center, it went seven different ways. And so I would see these things. And when these streams would meet at these places, all of a sudden, they would go into these places and they would come out seven times brighter. Because the glory of them coming together was greater. You know why? Because Psalm 16 says we have a glory. And so when we come together, Tony, in this glory that God calls us together for, all of a sudden our glory, the glory of God, gets stronger because we begin to intermingle with the glory that God has put in us. We each carry a glory. And so it was amazing to see. But now, and the Lord showed me that beginning in September and October of 2010, we would start moving in a new movement. And then he showed me that after that, within 3 years, we would really start amassing to accomplish what he was calling us to accomplish during this time. So I knew we would go through a transition. You know, you get tired of that word, but we move from transition to transition. The Bible says we go from glory to glory. We go from faith to faith. We go from strength to strength. So you have to go through your transitions. Without your transitions, you're not going to die to certain things and you're not going to come alive in other things. Matter of fact, you'll stay in an old structure and not move on into what God is doing. But now here we are in the time frame that the next part of that vision. Because in that vision, he also showed me the thrones of the enemy. Now what I did, I went back and I had Robert Heidler, whom I minister with, draw each particular state and what it looked like, and the thrones of, and what he called these were thrones of iniquity. And he said these thrones of iniquity would vie for the atmosphere. And only this glory realm could overturn these thrones. And it would have to be overthrown state by state by state. Not every state had a freedom outpost apostolic structure filled with glory. Not every state was in covenant with God. Other states, I could see their root system so deep, and they were encrusted with evil barnacles. Some had barnacles on them that were okay, and they were just old. Others were encrusted and infected. Matter of fact, we had a meeting in Rutgers, New Jersey, and they asked me, they said, what did the root structure of this state look like? And I said, it had a covenant root. New Jersey did. But it is so entwined with evil, and actually the rabbi structure of this area was part of the evil structure. You could see it. And we started praying, and within 2 weeks after that, the rabbis of the area started getting uncovered what they were doing in the corruption of that area. And then we were there at Rutgers 1 week. President Obama had been there for 6 times, visited to regain the strength of New Jersey. And within one meeting, all of a sudden, that state began to make a shift. Now, I feel like we are people that have great power. I feel like we're a people that have a great say in this nation. I feel like we're a people who, if we let the gifts of God in us come alive right now, and if we identify where we're all positioned, hell can't control this land. Now hear me. We have to get past thinking that hell can rule this land. The problem we're under is, in this land, is the debt amassed in this nation gives right for enemies to attempt to control the land. And so we're at a place now where I believe we start addressing these thrones. Now, this is very important for us, because without the government of God coming into the right order, we'll never be able, no matter how many moves of God we have, no matter how much refreshing we have, without us becoming and identifying who we are for this season, we'll never be able to overturn the thrones of iniquity that have built up in this land. And yet, I feel like the Lord's saying these, and he showed me all the way through. He had shown me in 10-year increments, but he showed me through to 2016. I believe we still have 2 awesome years that we can enter into a new movement of God and see things that need to be overturned. And that's, I'm praying accordingly that we would see that. So every year I try to say, okay, Lord, how do we get focused to move forward in this time? See, if you're still breathing right now, you're important in the future of what God is doing. Tell somebody next to you, take a breath. It's important. Now, let me show you some things. See, now, this is the way the Lord showed me. This 2 years we've been in this transition is important, because next year, this is the way God showed it to me. When he showed it to me, this is what he called it. He said, this year, the one we're going into, we will have to be delivered. And the way we're going to get delivered is we will face off the gates of hell. Now, hear what I'm saying to you. We are coming into a time where the gates of hell shall not prevail. Let's thank God for that. Now, I've got a book back there. Dutch writes so awesome books, but I've got one called Time to Defeat the Devil. Now, Pam told me, you know so much about deliverance, and you can talk on deliverance and the devil all over the world because your family had all the demons in the world. And that's right. And so that book is awesome. I've got another book out there that's new. It's called A Time to Prosper. If you don't have that book, we must come back to a mentality of prosperity. Now, I'm going to speak that into this region, and I decree that that poverty mentality that rests in the root structure of Memphis will not rule this region. Let me tell you something. You have to come and break ties with an evil root system in your bloodline and decree that those familial and familiar spirits that have been passed on from generation to generation, their voice is going to stop with you. See, and you have to say, wait a minute. You've spoken that over the last 4 generations to my family. Shut it up. See, you've got to learn how to say, this is our time of deliverance. And so, we're in a good place. Now, this, I always try to look at the Hebrew concept, because we're a covenant people. We are grafted into Abraham. Dutch teaches on Abraham the Hebrew, which is a bar, which means those that cross over. Tell somebody, you're one that crosses over. Well, if we're in covenant with the Hebrew concept that God gave us, Old and New Testament, we want to understand what there's certain things about Hebrew that gives us more insight into the time we're living in. This year, 4, 5, 7, 7, 4, that we will enter into, and we'll cross over into it in our culture in January 2014. 14 actually means going through the door of deliverance. See, you can't get away from it when you begin to see it. But 4 actually has great meaning. This year, it's easy to remember what 4 means because it actually means a door. It means you're coming in or up to a new door. But that door opens up into a place where a new well that you've been looking for, you find it. In other words, we're not looking to redig the wells now. We've been redigging wells, but this year we find a new well that we've been looking to uncover. And I think that's very important for us because we've been going through a transition of looking for the next well of revival. This year, the door is opening to that well of revival. Now, in the midst of it, it also opens up to the inheritance that God has given you. And we each have an inheritance. Now, the word inheritance means my portion. I've written a whole book on that, possessing your inheritance. Inheritance is an awesome concept to understand because not only do you have a spiritual inheritance, you have a physical inheritance. And in your bloodline, you have access to activate both of that. And it's not just one generation, it's 3 generations of activation in it. And so what you're doing is, a lot of times you're recovering what one generation lost, and you're trying to help another generation awaken to what they can have. And in the midst of it, you're standing in intercession between 2 generations. And so, and that's how it works in time. We will never be in time in our generation back to this moment. See? And so it's important in our prayer life that we understand this moment. Now, 4 is also linked with the concept of the bee and the honey of the land. Now, that means 2 things to us. That means the hornets are going to go before you to stir up the enemy so you see your enemy. That's what it says in Exodus 23. I'll send hornets before you and they'll stir up all the ites in the land. And when you see them, don't back off from them. Cut their heads off. And so this year we see lots of enemies stirred up. But it also means that the sweetness of the land, the revelation of the word that is necessary for us to grab hold of our next portion is coming forth. So this year we have great revelation of the Word of God. The Word of God becomes alive to us. You might have been pressing through trying to read your Bible and saying, Lord, I'm not sensing that much. I'm not sensing that much going on. Just keep pressing because all of a sudden it's going to be like the whole Bible's new to you again. It's going to be like we get baptized new and fresh again. It's just going to hit us all. It's going to hit us at different times. You're going to see a new generation getting baptized. That's why be patient with those that are going through a lot. Because in the midst of it, they are getting into a position to be baptized new and fresh. Because we're at the 3-year center portion of this decade that's so important. This year, the next year, and the next year ahead, we must have a heart to take the land and to occupy our inheritance. And so this becomes very important. Now, the original pictograph of for in Hebrew was a fish. And you say, well, how does a fish and a door go together? Because they would look at a tent. Remember, they lived in tents, and they would lift the flap up of the tent, and it would flap back and forth like a fish tail. And so the Lord says, this year we'll see the fish moving. And we must have a mentality to start catching and bringing the fish in. And so I believe this year we move into a new evangelistic realm. We move into a realm where we're sharing the Lord and we're seeing the Lord and we're not afraid to share him. But now also remember, this is where the symbol for the early Christians came. And what they would do, they would be walking along, they'd draw in the sand, and then those who really knew the Lord would draw the other portion in the sand. So I think what you're going to see this year is divine connecting of those that are of like mind to move forward in God's plan this season. Now, let's look at John chapter 20, because I want to say by February of this year, we're going to start seeing a new move manifest. And some of you are going to have to, let me just show you how it works when you think of the door. See, God is going to open a door. Go ahead, Chad, and let me show you some things. See, the door isn't like it's, we think like this, but the door is like this first. See, in the midst of it, we're going up. If you know the Lord, you have the ability to get into a place of revelation that the enemy can't get to. You are already seated in the heavens. The Bible tells us that in Ephesians. You're seated there and you have access to go in. Well, now, I think what happens to us this year, there's a new boldness in our access. And I'm watching it at our own place. There's this boldness in prayer. And I'm watching people little by little break out from under things and begin to decree boldly their future. And so in the midst of it, one of the things that I've started to pray, like even being here, when Clay asked me what I was asking the Lord, I said, I'm asking him to position his door of revelation over this region. Where when you're moving in and all of a sudden you have divine access in a way you didn't have that access. You're able to be walking and hearing. You're able to see. You're able to move. For instance, this past weekend we went to the state bowling tournament in New Brunswick, Texas, San Antonio, outside of San Antonio. And we bowled in New Brunswick and you couldn't sense the presence of God. But the next morning we got up, Chad and I were driving to San Marcos where we're going to bow, and I looked off of the interstate, and there was an Embassy Suites, and there was the Civic Center there in San Marcos, and the Spirit of God was all over that place. I mean, I could see it with my eyes. I said, the Spirit of God is on that hotel. The Spirit of God is on that Civic Center. That must be where God wants us to gather here in the state. And so I said, when we get back, we want to call and we want to find out. See, I think you're going to have to understand the way forward. You're going to have to see it. And you're going to have to know God is directing you. You're going to have to watch how the presence moves. I'll leave you with some things that you can really grab hold of. And so I'm discussing this and saying, get the name of that. We'll call. We'll find out how we can get that. So in the state of Texas, we can have a gathering there. When we got to this little bowling alley in San Marcos, one of the ladies that were bowling with us came over and said, the presence of God is in this place. I said, it's amazing compared to yesterday. I said, maybe we'll bowl good since the Lord's here, you know. And you could sense his presence. Well, we had bowled a game, and the manager of the bowling alley came over and introduced himself to me and said, we follow you on the web. And I introduced myself, and he said, why I came over here, we've been meeting now for several months at the Embassy Suites and the Civic Center in San Marcos. Would you be willing to come down here? I mean, it didn't help him bow better, but the Spirit of God really came on him, I'm telling you. That's what I'm talking about. You will see your way forward. Because I'm going to tell you why. It's a new move of God. Just like when you drive down through there tomorrow, I mean, that next week, you start looking how God's pointing this out. You start looking at houses he's pointing himself out to. See, I think what has happened with God's people, we've gotten so used to looking at the church, looking at each other, looking at what we know or we're familiar with, and we're not seeing how his presence is moving. Now, I am here to announce we're going to start seeing new moves of God. Some will see new moves of God sooner than others. Now, let's look at this. Because here, this is a good example. Jesus, you know, he's been crucified. They put him in the tomb. The disciples go away to their homes. Think about it, after 3 years. Now, we're talking about 3 years here. He's been working with them for 3 years. They've had high hopes of what's going to happen, and now this happens. And so, verse 11 says, "But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. The next day, she gets up, and she goes up there, and she sees two angels in white sitting, one at the head, and one at the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain." Now, I'm going to show you something now. Go ahead, Chad. This is the way it really looks as we move into this year. God is giving us access into a heavenly realm that we have gotten used to walking in one realm. Are two realms. We've actually got used to walking under the rule of the confusion of the enemy. And the Lord's saying, wait a minute, I've already seated you. This year, I want to give you access. And so here's this door in heaven that we are given access to. Now, when we go through the door of heaven, we then gain access to the door of earth. Now, I'm going to say that again. God is requiring us to go up. Now, I've got a book back there called The Worship Warrior. It's still a wonderful book for us. It's where you ascend in worship, you descend in war. And I'm going to tell you what, worship is changing. I was thinking about tonight how simple Jeremy led us, but yet how all of a sudden you could feel, all of a sudden, we gained access into the heavenly realm. And you could hear. Go ahead, Chad. Now, in the midst of it, it's going to unlock angelic hosts to come and station themselves strategically to direct us in the way. Another word for four that is important is path. So this year, new paths form for God's people to travel. A new journey is ahead for us. Now look at what happens here. She sees these angels, and they say to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they've taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've laid him." Now when she had said this, she turned around, and she saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't know him. Now, I believe the move of God is already in our midst. I believe one season has ended and a new season has begun. The new move of God is already here. And she says to him, he says to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" And she thinks he's the gardener because he looks different than what she's looking for. And she said, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've laid him. Tell me where the move is. I'll go wherever he is if you'll just tell me where he is." And he looks at her and he says, "Mary." And she turned to him and she said, "Rabboni." And he said, "Now don't cling to me, because I haven't quite got positioned yet to release you in to where you're going." Now bear with me for a moment. Mary Magdalene came. Now remember, she had a past, but she had been delivered. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things to her. Now, over in Mark, you find out that when she told him, the disciples, that, they didn't believe her. Now, this is what I'm saying. You're going to start hearing from people, the move of God is here. And some of you are going to have a hard time grabbing hold of that move. They had a hard time grabbing hold of the move. She had already seen that the move of God for the next season, everything that had been spoken, it was already working. But see, they couldn't see it yet. And they were the closest ones to it. And notice this. So what does he do the same day at evening? Now that was in morning. So he waited for evening. See, time is important when we're in it. And being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came in and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." In other words, they had shut the door because they thought the last season, it was over, and he just went through the shut door and there he was. The very one she had seen now was revealing himself to another group that were not even expecting him to come in. Now, I'm here to announce to you, this new move of God, you're not going to be able to shut it out. You might not receive it right off. You might not be able to see it right off. You might not even believe those who do see it right off. But doors in the earth do not intimidate the Lord from coming in. And so when I think of how so many doors we have shut on the moves of God in this nation, all of a sudden I see in this new move, he's just going to come in. Now notice something else here. Verse 24. Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, wasn't with them. So when he got back, they all said, "We've seen the Lord." And they didn't believe him. Do you see what I'm saying to you? He is going to get beyond our present familiar unbelief in the church. He's already come and visited one, and she went and told the other group, and they didn't believe her. And then he visited them, and they went and told Thomas, who wasn't with them, and he didn't believe. And so you know what he did? He showed up to Thomas. Now, this is what I'm here to say to you. We are on the verge, and I think that's what this dream also meant. We got right up to the edge, and the Lord said, "I'm going to show you the path." You think that the enemy's going to run over what I'm trying to do, but I'm going to show you the path. And I'm going to start visiting people, and you listen carefully when they start saying, I visited them. Because I'm going to start spreading this move through this nation in a very unusual way. It's not going to be dependent upon just one person. It's not going to be dependent upon a group. It's going to bust past the unbelief that is presently encased upon the people of God. We're not going to have to say, well, we've got so much unbelief. God says, this wasn't at Nazareth. I can bust through unbelief if I decide to bust through it, and I can make sure you see that I am in your midst. So I think what we're saying tonight, we're here, and this is what the Lord seems to have me be doing over the last 2 weeks, initiating a new move of God. See, we didn't just show up for a meeting here. There's something about all of us. We've been through so much. We've prayed through so much. We've prayed for seasons upon end. But now all of a sudden the Lord says, you come together and you initiate this move. You initiate what I'm longing to do. And see, he can just call people out of the woodwork to come in. And then, when you go tell somebody, it's really not dependent upon you convincing them that a new move of God is here. When you go back to Georgia, Jackie, it's not important that you convince them. You just announce it. I've seen it. And then, you know what? I believe what he's going to do when we announce it, he's going to come behind us and back us up with it. And say, because you've made the announcement, I'll come and I'll show that person that I can move on their behalf. See, he's just starting to do something. It's just like me. And he'll do this. He'll make you think you're somewhere for one reason, and all of a sudden, he settled why he brought you there. I mean, I would think, well, we'll just gather the state in, and we'll have a meeting at our place. And he said, I'll take you to where I want you to have the meeting, and I will confirm to you that that is where my hand is resting. And then once you obey me there, I'll start moving every place you announce it. See, we've got to understand God's way forward. And I think that's why Dutch has initiated this. God has a way forward. And this is God's time to move us forward. Now let me show you something else. Go ahead, Chad. Let's look at this. Because there's several things that's going to happen. His armies are beginning to align. A triumph of people. We're being freed up. We've all been through so much war. War doesn't make us afraid any longer. I mean, look at somebody and say, I don't know what else we can go through. And even if there is more, we've gone this far, we might as well keep going. I mean, all of a sudden, I think that's the attitude God's people are getting. We're not a bunch of wimps that back off just because the enemy tries. The Bible says, I'll knock a righteous man will fall seven times and they'll get up. And so I think it's not about falling, it's about getting up. And I believe he's causing us to get up right now. Now here's something else you want to look at. We're being freed up. I believe in every territory. Now, I think we get too much in, let's bring all the churches together, but I believe in every territory there's seven key alignments. And this is real important for you, Kim, because I see it as a biblical principle. When you get over to the book of Revelation, there were seven key churches in that territory. And I believe one of the things God was showing me when he was giving me that vision was where the key churches were in certain regions. Now, Mississippi had some key churches, but I don't really consider where we're at right now, just for Mississippi, Clay. I think God has positioned you for three states here: Tennessee, Arkansas, Mississippi, and then out of Mississippi, you touch other states. And so, see, I believe he positions places because his boundaries don't look like our boundaries. And in the midst of it now, he's positioning people in places so we can align together. And what I see biblically, all seven of those churches he dealt with in a region. And he told every one of them, if you'll hear what I'm saying, what the Spirit of what the Spirit is saying to you, because see, he might speak it to Don one way and Ken one way and Clay one way. If you'll hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, you'll overcome. And I think what God is looking at, he's looking at a territory and he's saying, find your territorial alignments. They're important for the next season. And remember what God did with those seven churches. Now, this is important for us in the pattern for this year. He told every one of them, first of all, what they had done well. See, I think God is much more encouraging than some of us. He told them, let me affirm you this way. This is what you were up against. This is how you've done well. And then he said, now here's where you've had a problem. And then everyone, and some of those churches didn't have any problems. And I think sometimes we think we have problems and we really don't have problems. But then to every one of them, he said, now if you're going to move into the future, here's what you're going to have to do. He had an instruction, a prophetic instruction for every one of them. And I think right now we have to be very teachable on how to get into the new. Yes. And how to advance in the new. Yes. Because, see, this is a season that new paths are forming. And even though we've got some good principles, we have to know that God is loosing new revelation to us. Now, let me show you something else. Right now, like never before, and I think Ken was saying this to us when he was reading this, you have to connect the roots of your inheritance. The Lord's taking us through things where he's saying, like Cece, being from Mississippi, you have roots territorially. You have roots spiritually. You have roots generationally. And the Lord's saying, now, I've got to carry you through a quick lesson to reconnect your roots. You have a bloodline that the enemy has interrupted. But you couldn't be here if you weren't seeking to bring that bloodline back into fullness. Now, there's a book back there called Redeeming the Time. Because the Bible says we can redeem the time. I think you can go to bed one way and wake up a new way. And I don't mean wake up in a new world every day. I mean, wake up where all of a sudden you're in a place of faith. And it's like a light bulb goes off. And you say, that was what was wrong. And you're delivered. And you're free. And you're moving forward. And then the glory goes down in you. And that glory can't be pulled out of you by the enemy. It's too deep in your bloodline. And then, see, just like DNA structures, which that's part of my background, is understanding that. All of a sudden, the Word of God that was penetrated down into your bone marrow, because that's where the Word actually goes. It actually goes down into your bone marrow. When a Word is released to you, it goes into your bone marrow, and it's part of the manufacturing of your blood. So see, that's why an evil word can go all the way down into your stomach and create problems for you. A curse causeless can't come to light, but it doesn't mean that that word doesn't try to work and root itself in you. But see, that word of God, there are some of you that have words. Your great-grandmother prayed you to this place. And you might have had a mother and dad that went cuckoo. But it doesn't mean that all of a sudden that word can't activate what your great-grandmother spoke into the bloodline. See? And right now, the Lord is connecting roots. That's why this is interesting. He sent me to the first three states of our nation 2 weeks ago. Pennsylvania, Delaware is the first state, New Jersey and Pennsylvania. And then Georgia came up, Jackie, to be in that meeting because Georgia is our fourth state. Most people don't realize that Georgia is the fourth state of the nation. And then you see all of a sudden the Lord says, now, I'm going to this corner of Mississippi, and I'm going to start moving in a new way. So you see, this is a time that roots are being connected. Now, in the midst of this, go ahead, Chad, because I don't want to teach all this. Roots is the beginning. That's the thing you want to understand. It's where your name begins. It's where the source begins. It's the essential cause of something. And so in the midst of it, that's what's happening as we advance. Now turn with me to end tonight and let's look at something in Joshua. Because the hard thing is we must get into the new. We're at a place where God's saying, I'm coming back and meeting you in a fresh way. I know that you've had lost hope, like what Cece was saying. I know that what you thought should have happened didn't happen. And here in the midst of it, you get to this place in Joshua chapter 3, and it's time. See, I think that's what this picture represents. It's time. Tonight is time. If you came here for one reason, you came here to hear the move of God is now, and I will find a way to initiate it in you because it's already happening. It's time. And here, think about here in the book of Joshua. God has waited 470 years for these people. Look at somebody and say, he can outwait you. I'm telling you. He's waited on this people. And it's time. See, there comes a moment where it's time. I don't think we can put off the next move of God. I don't think God wants us to put it off. I think some of us would all say, you know, let's just wait for God. I think he's waiting on us. And here's what he says here. Here is how we get in the new. All of a sudden, he tells them, he said, now pull aside and for 3 days sanctify yourself. He said, now sanctify yourself because you haven't passed or gone the path and the way ahead that you're about to go. And I know you've heard this over and over, but it's different when you're speaking it like this plumb line from heaven and God's saying, but now, tonight, I'm saved. It's time. That word past is the same word of Hebrew. You're going from one place into the next. I'm abarring you. I'm passing you over. I'm crossing you over. I'm taking you beyond where you've ever been. And so he said, now, sanctify yourself. Write that down. Set yourself apart to let me do something new in you. Don't have sex. That's really, when you find that, it was forbidden in this sanctification. For 3 days, he said, now, wait a minute. I want you and I to be intimate. I want us to come into a new place where your emotions are not distracted by something else. And then, once you do that, I'm going to change the way you have seen my glory operate in the past season. Just like Mary at the tomb. All of a sudden, for 40 years, you've gotten used to the cloud and the fire. I'm going to remove that. And you're going to have to go in a way you haven't gone before. You're going to have to sense me in a way you haven't sensed me before. You're going to have to know that if I brought you to a place and directed you to a place tonight, there's a reason I'm going to speak to you. In other words, there's something he couldn't do with me in Corinth. I had to come to Mississippi for it to be done. It's not about me being here as a guest minister. It's about me having something done. Expecting God to meet. It's about you taking out of Thursday night and expecting God to show you something that you didn't see right. And then all of a sudden he said, I've got to form a new government. I've got to move you forward in a new way. You can't move forward the same way you've moved forward. I'm going to have the priest, the firstborn troop, to get in, and I'm going to set my presence down before you, 2,000 cubic feet, and you're going to have to watch how this new government carries my presence, and as they move, you move. You say, well, it's just me and God. That isn't a principle. You know what Jesus did? He said, I'm going to ascend. I'm going to go past. I'm going to break the headship of all the principalities and powers. I'm going to give gifts to man, men, apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. And you're going to have to watch how they move. He didn't change anything other than the physicalness of the way it all operated. And then he said, now that you're over there and you've been willing to go away you haven't gone before, now we're going to stop and I'm going to cut away last season's reproach off of you. Because I don't want you carrying last season's reproach of what you got started and didn't operate in, of how you got moving and saw all the blessings and backed off from them. And I hadn't changed at all, but I'm going to cut that off of you. Because it's time for me to cut it off of you. You saw the giants and you were strong and you didn't want to battle them. So now what I'm going to do, I'm going to stop you and I'm going to circumcise you. And you're going to be so dependent upon me in the midst of the giants this time that you're going to be too sore to even worry about them. So they're not going to make you afraid this time because you're just too worn out and too healing over the last season of getting it cut away that they won't even faze you when you face them. See, there comes a time where God said, I don't want you to carry that junk on in. Now, I'm here to say these next 3 months, he's really preparing us to go away. We haven't been before. I think we've reconciled a lot of things. The one thing I see we haven't reconciled is that glory realm between heaven and earth, where we've shut the door in the past to the glory moving, and the Lord says, I'm ready to open it up again. And I'm ready for you to jump in it, see it. I'm ready for you when you go share it to other people about what I'm doing. Don't let it bother you that they don't see it. You share it, I'll show up and I'll open their eyes. I believe tonight, this meeting, and I know Dutch Sheets Ministry and its call. I've been a part of it for years. I give into it every month. But it's more than that. It's the initiation of us into the move of God in the season ahead. That's what tonight is about. Let's stand up.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. For more information about the City Gate, visit www.thecitygate.org.